Them Podcast with Landon McCool.
How about them, Cowboys, indeed?
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the How About Them Podcast. I am your host, Landon McCool. Oh my gosh, here we are. Week one of the NFL season. We really don't have to talk about lawyer stuff. We have to talk about football stuff. We don't have to talk about hypothetical depth charts or potential people on the 53-man roster. We're talking about football. It's an actual game this week. So that means we need to get down to business, folks. So we're going to do that real quick. We're going to talk all about the matchups on both sides of the ball. I'm going to try something a little bit different this year. I want to try to go level by level. You know, we kind of going to base it on the defense. So we'll start with a trenches matchup, and then we'll kind of just move back as we go and discuss some of the matchups between the two teams and on both sides of the ball. And then, you know, obviously through that we'll discuss strategy and that sort of thing and who's playing, and hopefully we'll get that'll just be a way for us to get through all the different insane number of storylines between these two teams for this huge matchup. It feels like it's come upon us late, and we have got a lot to get to, so let's get to it.
Wide 80! Wide 80! Kill, kill, kill!
All right, we start in the trenches, and frankly, guys, to me, obviously, this is the headliner. I mean, you know, those of you who listen to this podcast know that I'm a huge fan of what happens in the trenches anyways, but, you know, it's hard to look at what is going to go on Sunday between this Cowboys offensive line and that Giants defensive line specifically and not get excited about the matchups all across the line and the combination and the totality of them working against each other. It really is some of the best players in the NFL doing some of the best things they do, and really that specifically starts to me with the matchup inside between Zach Martin and Damon Harrison. And this isn't exactly, you know, a straightforward one versus one matchup that happens all the time. I mean, there definitely is going to be blocks where Martin is comboing, and, you know, obviously all the things that go into a zone blocking system and you know, all the power and man that they mix in as well. It's rarely in especially run situations that you have one-on-one situations. So maybe it's more appropriate to label this as the Cowboys interior three on the offensive line versus the Giants interior two on the defensive line. Because and the interesting thing is there is that they go three deep, really. They got a guy named Bromley who is behind, or maybe it's Bromley. I actually haven't ever heard it said before. So, but they're behind Dalvin Tomlinson and Damon Harrison, who is a very well, very good as well. And so I think that when you look at that matchup of what it looks like, I guess we have Green starting at left guard and Frederick and Martin versus Damon Harrison, Dalvin Tomlinson, and then, you know, rotating in with Bromley. I think it's just it's one of the best, you know, matchups you're going to see in the NFL. Damon Harrison is frankly one of the best run players in the NFL, and we don't really know what Tomlinson is as an NFL player yet, but he was a really, really solid interior run stuffer for an Alabama defense that obviously was extremely good per usual. So he was the next in the long line of solid run stuffing defensive linemen. And no, it'll be interesting because, you know, obviously he kind of steps in from when Hankins, who left a free agency to go to Indianapolis. So obviously I think, you know, the offensive line is a year older, so a little bit more, even more cohesive. Now, obviously we don't have Leary at left guard or Collins at left guard, and we don't really know how Green is going to play up front, so there may be a step back there. But this is going to be a fantastic matchup no matter what, and ultimately could be pivotal to deciding you know, how this game works. I mean, I think, you know, the inside zone, the outside zone, the Cowboys like to run, it's hinging on being able to pass players inside to each other. And Damon Harrison is just such a handful on the move in stunts. I mean, just so powerful and so able to keep his feet that it really can destroy your run schemes. And ultimately, that's a lot of what happened week one when the Cowboys weren't exactly ready and tuned up, I feel like, to face this. And I think they have a better idea of what they've got. And I also think that, you know, obviously the news about Ezekiel Elliott will, ultimately help the results. We'll discuss that a little bit later. But when you talk about the power on power, strength on strength, like, this is the premier matchup because it can really dictate whether or not Dallas is able to functionally run the ball on the Giants. And Dallas's ability to run the ball or not run the ball, frankly, could be the key point of the entire game, because it really is the kind of deciding factor. Is, I mean, it, obviously not the deciding factor. Obviously, they can still win if they aren't able to run the ball. But I do think that it is as strong a tea leaf to read as to how the game is going as there is how well Dallas is able to run the ball specifically, because it just opens up everything else for the rest of the game. Moving on to the Giants' defensive side of the ball. Before we move on, I obviously do want to touch a little bit on the outside, because I think that's important. That is important as well. There's some amazing matchups there as well. I tend to think that Tyron Smith is going to play really, really well, and a lot better than he may have played in previous years against against last year than he did against Vernon. I think that he didn't necessarily struggle against Vernon, but Vernon made plays nonetheless on situations where, like on split zone, when Witten was supposed to trap block him and he just wasn't able to do the job. And, and I think what you're also going to see is maybe a more confident, more comfortable Jason Pierre-Paul on the other side. And, they'll flop back and forth, and then you'll see Vernon kick inside on to be the three-tech as well. And that's an interesting matchup to watch for as well, is Vernon at kind of a three-tech position rushing the passer against Zach Martin. I think that could be a very big matchup to watch for sure. And frankly, that may be where you have some advantage for a guy like Green versus Cooper. Is, I think, if the Giants are trying to isolate Vernon inside against the weakest link of a pass blocker, as solid as Cooper has been at certain points and as reliable as he's been, I mean, that's Green's bread and butter, and I really think I trust Green against a guy like Vernon, who gets kicked inside and who's more traditionally a defensive end who's going to win with quickness. I think that's Green's bread and butter, where he'll be able to handle that with the plumb. So that's something to consider when considering the whole matchup of who should be that left guard and why, basically. And again, to kind of get to the outside, I think that Tyron Smith is probably at a healthier place. I mean, I know they had some back tightness earlier in the year in the training camp, but again, I think that was more just being giving a veteran days, not wanting the back to tighten up on him. He was legitimately injured around the time that they played, I think, if I remember correctly, last year, especially the second time. I look for Tyron to redeem himself from that. And then I think, what I don't know about Lael Collins is how he will do against Jason Pierre-Paul in the pass game. What I feel pretty confident about is that even though Jason Pierre-Paul is a pretty solid, in fact, very good run defender, I feel confident that Lael Collins is going to be a dominant right tackle in the run game. So it'll be interesting to see how that whole matchup on the right side, or how Collins' play on the right side, susses out. I do still have concerns about his ability to hit targets, and especially with someone like Jason Pierre-Paul, who is slippery, especially for how big he is. I do think that you worry that he's going to miss fire on one of his punches, and that's just going to cause problems that may result in penalties, or may just hopefully result in him needing to readjust. But I think it's something to consider, because he is still pretty early in this process, and going against however many 60 to 75 snaps against Jason Pierre-Paul is going to make things tough. I don't know that Paul was going to play that many snaps, but let's go to the other side of the ball. Look, I think as good as the matchups are on on the Dallas offense versus the Giants defense, the matchups talent wise are just not that impressive on the other side for either team. I tend to think, and of course this is probably homerism, but I tend to think that the talent for the Cowboys defensive line is better than the talent for the Giants offensive line, just because they are very weak at two very critical spots, and that's the tackle positions. Their interior line is okay, I think. I mean, from what I've seen, and I haven't studied the Giants thoroughly, but I study the way they've played us, and they have embarrassed themselves like Flowers and Hart have at times. I think really the key to this whole game is Malik Collins' ability. Well, the key to that side of the trenches is Malik Collins' ability to get penetration, disrupt in the pass game. You know, the Giants don't have much of a run game. They didn't have much of a run game last year. I don't know how much that's really going to change, considering that there really wasn't much change or movement in the offensive line. You know, they have Vereen and Perkins in there, and I don't, you know, I like those guys as runners, but I don't know that they're necessarily huge threats on their own. I think there are more guys who could probably hurt you as the passing game opens up. And because of that, like, I think that, you know, the Giants really are going to focus on the short passing game, because that's a good replacement for the run game, as, you know, most West Coast teams will tell you. And B, it mitigates the issues, and I've said this on so many platforms now over and over again, but their offense clearly mitigates the weaknesses that they have on the outside with the tackle position. So I think that the Cowboys' only way to truly kind of, you know, get an opportunity to consistently hit the quarterback or consistently get pressure on Eli is interior pressure. And that means Malik Collins, and that means Stephen Paya. And I think that, you know, obviously you'll see some guys kick inside, and there definitely will be opportunities for guys like Lawrence and Mayoa and these Taco and these guys outside to get some pass rush on the tackles. But I think those are going to come on opportunities where you see Eli going down the field, and they're not going to present any team an opportunity to get much of a pass rush on Eli. He wants to get the ball out to this playmakers quick. So Malik Collins versus, you know, and Paya, there's that whole group of interior players versus, you know, Pugh and Richburg and John Jerry. And I think that the Cowboys can get some wins there. And I've said this before with other people too, that the difference, Eli and his brother were both really good with pocket awareness, like some of the best. They're not athletic, you know, really. Not at all. And they're not really super quick, but they have a level of pocket awareness and an ability to slide around in the pocket that makes them very difficult to get their hands on. So but the difference between those two is that when you get hits on Eli, it affects his game, and especially as of late, the last few years, it really has affected his ability to continue to stay on schedule, to not, you know, feel ghost. If you get to him, it will get to him. So I hope, and really the best option there to really get him is interior pressure. So go Malik Collins, go. All right, second level matchups. First off, just to be clear, if you haven't heard, Ezekiel Elliott is playing in this game on Sunday. And God, if I'm the first person to tell you that right here on this podcast, then man, I'm glad to give you that news. But matchups there are some of the second level matchups, frankly, on both sides of the ball are where the Cowboys, I think, have the strongest advantage. And I think it really, you know, starts with Zeke and these Giants linebackers. Basically, Jonathan Casillas and you know, all these guys that are playing linebacker for them, maybe not Kennard as much, but all these guys are really running hit linebackers. And they need to stay clean. And that's why they've got these kind of two huge space eater, run stuffer defensive tackles that mostly play on early downs for them. And you know, they are good athletes. They can do some things. Jonathan Casillas specifically surprised us, or surprised me, last year in two games in the way he played. I don't necessarily think that he's going to light the world on fire. I don't think he's one of the better linebackers they're going to face. I think he's a weak link on their defense, but he was better than I thought he was going to be. So that's worth consideration. I still think Zeke is going to destroy him, and I think that's one of the key matchups, and that is, I think it's our key matchup for the second level. I just think that the fact that he got the opportunity to play is, it just makes the Giants defense that much more stressed, because, you know, look, if you look at what happened before in last season, there wasn't a point where both Zeke and the passing game were in sync, and both Zeke and the passing game were producing. And we haven't seen this Giants defense have to face that. And of course, obviously, a part of that is because of how well the Giants defense played. They have talent at every level. But I think the second level is, like I said, a place that can be exploited. And I think that this, you know, area, Zeke specifically, is a huge mismatch for them. I think that, you know, we're going to see a little bit more of Zeke in the passing game. I think that we're going to see some opportunity for Zeke to split out wide. I think there's definitely opportunity to see Zeke in you know, sort of pass catching situations as a dump off option that's going to be a successful dump off option. You know, I just feel like they're going to be able to use Zeke more than they were able to last season versus the Giants, especially the first game. And in that second game, he was able to run the ball well, but unfortunately Dak couldn't do anything better, and Dak couldn't do better than he did. And I think that Dak is a much, much better player than he was at that point. And I think that, you know, we'll get to where Dez is, but I think that that's also feeds into all of this. But as far as this level specifically goes, I think if the offensive line can handle what they need to handle up front, Zeke can take care of the rest with these guys, and he can produce, you know, against these linebackers. This isn't really where you have a level of fear. I mean, I think that these guys get a lot of support from a guy like Landon Collins coming into the box. But I think that if, like I said, if Dallas is able to take care of things up front, if even better, if they can take care of things up front and then get to the second level, then Zeke can start worrying about the third level guys. And that's where you start really, you know, breaking things open and getting success. So look for the matchup for Zeke versus like guys like Casillas, who specifically is the Will linebacker, not just in the run game where he's going to be kind of the key run and chase guy, but also in the pass game where, you know, likely at times he will be taking Zeke out of the backfield as he comes out in passing receiving situations. I think otherwise, you know, obviously we have to mention that Dak has had a level of improvement here, that he's a different player than he was anywhere close to at either one of the two Giants games, but specifically, well, really both of them. I mean, he played so poorly, and these were two of his worst games. And you know, people want to talk about how it had a lot to do with his inability to use Zeke because they were shutting Zeke down, but it had a lot to do with the coverage as well and his inability of his receivers to catch and get open and complete on their targets. But I think that I would be remiss to kind of move on to the Giants side of the things without mentioning how much Zeke has improved in this offseason, which clearly is significant. But having mentioned that, let's move on to the defense. I think the key matchup here, you know, people are going to want to talk about Jalen Smith. I understand. I love Jalen. I think he's a, you know, a great storyline. But now that we're in the regular season, Jalen isn't Sean Lee yet, and Sean Lee is still Sean Lee. So we're going to talk about Sean Lee versus – and I didn't use Paul Perkins. I ended up using Shane Vereen because I think that, you know, what could be key in this whole thing is for the Giants is their ability to dump off to Shane Vereen and have him make plays, you know, kind of in his role that he used in the when he was with the Patriots. Look for Shane Vereen wasn't completely healthy last year, but he's going to get an opportunity to make some plays. You know, Paul Perkins will as well, but I think that they may use him more as the primary back and Vereen as more of the gadget receiver back. So look for Shane Vereen to take on Sean Lee when he's coming out of the backfield. Lee is usually pretty reliable in that sort of situations and dump offs and rallying to tackle. So, you know, obviously in the run game as well, it's going to be important that Lee is on his screws because, I mean, they don't have a threatening run game. So if they can't, the Cowboys can't let them surprise them with that or even when if the pass game starts going and they can't start getting soft on the run if they want to start using draws or that sort of thing because that's really how they can get big chunks. So Sean Lee needs to be specifically on his keys and making sure that he's getting good run and, you know, high hat, low hat reads, which usually indicate run and pass and all those, you know, details that will help him kind of make the correct read because the ball is going to be coming out fast and furious in the pass game, and when you least expect it, you're going to be going pass, 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 and then suddenly they're going to turn around and hand the ball off, and Shane Vereen's so quick that – and Shane Vereen and Perkins are so quick they can get going before you're ready. So Lee really needs to get where he needs to go quickly but make sure that he's doing the right thing because one of these times you're going to turn to drop into the flat to make sure that – Odell Beckham isn't catching that slant route, and he's going to hand the ball off, and he's gone.
Wide 80! Wide 80! Kill, kill, kill!
All right, last but not least, the third level. And for me, I think for the Cowboys offense, the key thing here is Dez needs to be more efficient against the Giants. You know, I talked about this on a couple of my other podcasts. 2 catches for Dez on 14 targets for 18 yards last year in both games combined. That's terrible numbers for Dez. That's terrible numbers for anybody. I think the key thing is not so much Dez versus Janoris Jenkins, though I know that Janoris thinks that. I think it really has more to do with how he was not in sync with Dak at that point. And I think later in the year, he was a little bit more in sync. But if you remember, that Giants game kind of came at a time when people were questioning how many targets Dez was getting. And it felt like that Giants game offense was so focused on force feeding Dez that everything else kind of felt secondary. They were able to get 100 yards off Zeke, like I mentioned before, but Dez specifically in that second game had 9 targets and 1 catch. And I mean, obviously, Janoris Jenkins thinks and probably deserves some credit, and I think he does deserve some credit, I should be clear. But I also think that he's not some unbeatable receiver. Dez has beaten him tons of times. I think he's going to gamble, and he's going to gamble and lose. And I think that you know, Dez needs to take advantage of those opportunities and take advantage of those times. They'll move Dez around, I think, a little bit to see if Janoris follows him. Whether he follows him or not, I think it's a good idea to move Dez because I don't know that Janoris especially can follow Dez around the field and, you know, be efficient against him. It was made out to be that he played last year. I think really the situation was more about Dez and Dak not being in sync than Janoris disrupting Dez completely. I think that, you know, outside of that, one of the key things I've talked about in the tight end section of this is, you know, obviously Witten's the number one tight end, but it's important that James Hanna is back because he is such a important chess piece in the run game as a move blocker, as an inline blocker, just as a do-all blocking piece who also happens to be a pretty good athlete who can catch the ball and make a play. So I know it seems like a small thing, but I James Hanna is going to make a block or is going to seal an end off and is going to break a big run or catch a pass on a play action bootleg or do something in this game that you're probably going to notice. Or you'll notice when you're watching the tape later, because James Hanna is a solid football player, and I know the Cowboys are happy to have him back because he will be valuable to the Cowboys in, just if you go back and watch, I love Jason Witten, but I don't know that he is the best at executing all the blocks that they asked him to do last year, and that's because those were specifically meant for James Hanna to make, and I think that at times Swaim and Witten struggled to produce at the level that Hanna did, especially as a move blocker. So I'm excited to see where that goes now that Hannah's back. Moving to the other side of the ball, there's talk, all this talk about the Cowboys and their youth at the before I go on, I'm sure I should mention Landon Collins, obviously, who is a young rising star at the safety position for the Giants. He is going to be a force in the run game and in the pass game. The Cowboys need to account for him for sure. But I think that the Cowboys can also have had some success against him, depending on who they match him up against. Witten can, I think, do his thing against him for an easy first down every once in a while. But really, it's just about making sure that they're aware of where he is and that he's not disrupting run schemes and blowing things up. And if he is being aggressive, taking advantage of that aggression and making shots downfield to spaces where he should be occupying. Going back to the other side of the ball, there's lots of talk, obviously, about Odell Beckham. There's lots of talk about he's not going to be even 100%, it doesn't seem like. I mean, he didn't get all the way back into practice on Wednesday. He might get some practice on Thursday. He may not. He may not even do anything until Friday, and then just see how it goes from there. I tend to think that it's a high ankle sprain. He probably will try to play. I just don't know how effective he's going to be on it. But you need to plan like he's going to be 100%. And I understand that that's why that and him have been the focus, and the Cowboys' inexperience in the secondary, even though now that they've signed and traded for a new guy, three of their four, secondary players, cornerbacks have multiple years of experience in the secondary, but I regress. I think that really the key matchup here could be Byron Jones' effectiveness against Evan Engram, because they brought Evan Engram. They used that first-round pick for a reason, not on offensive line. That's a whole different story. But they used that pick on Evan Engram to be able to manipulate defenders in the middle of the field and manipulate defenses in the middle of the field, specifically zone schemes that might limit opportunities for guys on the outside. And I think that when you have a guy like Byron Jones who can actually cover a hybrid tight end like Evan Engram, it takes away a lot of his ability to dictate to middle of the field defenders or draw attention away from those middle of field defenders that he would look to influence as much as he would as if there wasn't a Byron Jones covering him. So, look, Byron was built to cover these kind of hybrid guys. He's an elite athlete in the NFL across all positions. And it'll be interesting to see how Evan Engram had a lot of success at Ole Miss. It'll be interesting to see how Jordan Reed-ish he can be for the Giants this year. Obviously, the focus is going to be on the outside guys. Brandon Marshall and Odell Beckham have all the name recognition for sure. And not that Evan Engram is, in the shadows as a first-round pick. But I think a low-key matchup to watch is how Byron Jones is able to handle that, therefore allowing everyone else to focus on the challenges on the outside. Guys, that's it. Let's go watch this Cowboys game. Go Cowboys. I'm predicting a Cowboys win because I love them. No matter what, make sure you guys follow me on Twitter, McCoolBTB. Check out this podcast after the game. I will definitely be doing some analysis. I'll have to wait because you guys are you guys want the good stuff. You guys come to here for the good stuff. You want the good stuff. I'm going to give you the good stuff. We're going to only do reviews when we have all 22 tapes. So when you're looking for my post-game reviews, keep in mind it's going to probably be dictated about how quickly they get the all 22 tape up on Game Pass. So, guys, it's football season. I'm excited. Go Cowboys. Listen, everybody, enjoy yourselves this Sunday. And no matter what, remember that it's not the end of the season if the Cowboys can't win. But I don't think we're going to need to worry about that, are we? Go Cowboys, and happy trails.